Hey there, Sandy K Nutrition Health and Lifestyle Queen fans. I'm Stephanie Shaw from the podcast Hello Hot Flash, where we talk about how to navigate perimenopause and postmenopause so you can sleep better, stop the hot flashes, and regain the vibrancy you had in your youth. Be sure to check out episode 117, where I answer the question, is procrastination making your menopause symptoms worse? You're listening to Sandy K Nutrition Health and Lifestyle Queen. Here's your host, Sandy Cruz.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Sandy Cruz of Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. For years now, I've been bringing to you conversations about wellness from experts from all over the world, whether it be suggestions in how you can age better, biohacking, alternative wellness. These are conversations to help you live your best life. I want to live a long, healthy, and vibrant life. Never mind all those stigmas that, as we reach midlife and beyond, we're just going to shrivel up and die with some horrible disease. Always remember, balanced living works. I really look forward to this season. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, I have Mr. Phil Mikens. He's been on my show a number of times to talk all about peptides, melatonin, how to age better. And today we're talking about cutting edge, regenerative, preventative therapies that are actually going to be discussed at great length at the Profound Health Summit in Bedfordshire, England, May 25th and May 26th. The highlight of this year's conference is going to be preventative and regenerative therapies that you're just not going to hear about anywhere else. So, you're going to go to profoundhealthsummit.com. It's profound-health-summit.com. I will have all this in the show notes. There is a discount code that I have that will also be in the show notes. It's K9NFKCVP, and that's going to get you a great discount on tickets to go yourself. But this conversation is like a preemptive conversation where you're going to just get highlights of what's going to be discussed at great length during this conference. Also in the show notes, I'm going to link the other conversations I've had with Phil Mikens about peptide bioregulators, about melatonin. I also have discount codes, a discount code for that. It's SandyK15 at profoundhealth.com. If you'd like to really explore the world of preventative and regenerative therapies, be sure to listen to the entire recording because Phil is just such a world of information and such a pleasure to chat with every time I do. Another special announcement, my Essential Thyroid Guide will be out on March 1st, Amazon worldwide, any Amazon store that you shop at. So I found that there was a big miss in the world of thyroid health where you could find like pretty clinical books that are over 200 pages or like, you know, very, very simplified information that, you know, I'm going to say most people know about. So what I did was I took all the information that I found of great value and I put it in a simplified, it's just about 50-page guide. It's like magazine style, not a lot of just words. I've got a lot of graphics. I did all the design myself. So forgive me if it's not, you know, like an artist's design of a book, but I did this because I wanted illustrations and words and everything to be very simplified for anyone who just wants to understand high level how to optimize their thyroid health. Most of you who listen to my podcast know I had thyroid cancer at age 41. That was in 2011. And I had the entire gland removed along with a couple of lymph nodes. And I had quite a few years of struggle. And traditional therapies were not working to just bring me back to wellness, bring me back to that vitality. And I think this is the big thing and the big miss in thyroid health today, whereby if we're really not paying attention to the nutritional aspect, the diet, the supplements, the lifestyle, I even have a little spiritual component to thyroid health. Really, it's all encompassing. If you don't do that, it's very hard to feel vitalized in your life once you are diagnosed with thyroid disease. And I even talk about the link to autoimmune conditions. So it's a very simple guide, though. It's not complex. And then if you choose to dig deeper, then go to a clinical book. Go to one of those 200-page books. But this is really meant for anyone and everyone. I even have a little bit of a component of the link with menopause and thyroid, which is something else that happens to a lot of women at midlife. So this book is really written from, you know, I'm 54 years old, from a menopausal woman's perspective who's going through menopause without a thyroid. Eventually, I will also release the video accompaniments that will be available on my website. I've recorded most of that, but I got to figure out how I'm going to roll that part out. But at least March 1st, you can get the guide anywhere on Amazon. And by the way, I am still working on my book. I call it my book because this is probably going to be, you know, it's about 50, 60,000 words and it will be released with a publisher. And it's really not just about only thyroid health. It's about overall wellness. And the working title is Bridging the Gap Between Science and Soul. Because I've always said, looking at science alone will never optimize your health, and it will not help you to live an enriched, healthy, vibrant life as you age. We need to look at so much more, and that's where I'm here, trying to bridge that gap for those of you who are interested in more the spiritual, the soulful aspect of aging better. All of this links to my podcast topics. So I'm going to ask you to share this episode or any episode that you feel might be beneficial for anyone else. I'm also going to ask you to rate and review with a few kind words. You can do this on Apple pretty easily. Just look for my podcast, Sandy K Nutrition. Scroll down to write a review, write a few nice comments, give me a 5-star review, and we're on our way. And that helps me to keep bringing amazing guests, amazing topics each and every week. I'm sure now at this point, I think I've just passed 4 years and I'm going to keep going, you guys. I just need a little bit of help with you guys to support me and follow me on all of my social media channels, Sandy K Nutrition everywhere. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Rumble, YouTube. We'll have the full interviews. And now let's cut on through to this amazing interview with Phil Mikens. And be sure to check the show notes for links and codes for discounts. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, I have a special guest. His name is Phil Mikens, and he's actually been on my podcast, I believe, 3 times before this. And Phil is a highly qualified expert with a wealth of knowledge and experience in anti-aging medicine, with degrees in food and vitamin technology, pharmacy, and biochemistry from institutions in both the UK and the USA. He has been actively involved in this field since the late 1980s. Phil has contributed to numerous books, magazines, radio, and TV shows on various topics related to healthy aging, currently serving as the editor-in-chief of Aging Matters magazine, assistant editor to the Lifespan Medicine Journal, and director of the British Longevity Society. He has also advised at the Stromboli Conference on Cancer and Aging and the London Anti-Aging Conference. In 1991, he co-founded the IAS Group, the International Anti-Aging Systems, an organization dedicated to providing information on preventative and regenerative medicine, as well as the supply of hard-to-obtain health products. He is also a founder of the Profound Health Summit, and that's happening in May 2024 in England. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, because it's a big deal. It's been going on for a few years, right? 3 years now? Is this going to be the third year?
We've organized several conferences over quite a few years. And thank you for the introduction. Makes me sound really busy.
You are a busy man, though, and I get that, because we've been trying to record a few weeks now.
We have, and the fourth time we're chatting. That's rare. People don't normally ask me back on a fourth time. So, you know, I'm a joker.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Now, over the years, we actually, in terms of doing our own meetings, our own conferences, whatever you want to call them, now we're calling them summits. The very first one we did was in 2000, and believe it or not, it was in Monte Carlo. And the reason we did one then was Europe in 2000, believe it or not, had not had an anti-aging conference. That they'd been going on in America for quite a number of years, started, of course, by Bob Goldman and Ron Klatz and A4M, which is the Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. And which is now the biggest meeting in the calendar, I won't hesitate to say that. Normally takes place in Las Vegas every year, of course, next month.
Yeah.
It will be in place. But come by 2000, we thought, well, why hasn't Europe had one? So we actually formed the first proper anti-aging meeting. So we actually held them in Monaco for 3 years. And after that, it was Heather Bird, who's quite well known in London, lovely Heather, and also with her PA, Maria Summers, and they founded the London Anti-Aging Conference. So what we did is we flipped, much easier to get for us to get to London than it was to get to Monaco, and we flipped and we supported that. And that ran, believe it or not, for 16 years. And then more recently, because what it was, I'm sorry if I hope I'm not boring too many people here, but I go to a lot of different meetings around the world, and they generally run in three directions, if you know what I mean. The first one is for scientists, the researchers, where they're talking about what might be, which has its place. And then you have ones for clinicians, about, you know, how to use this, how to use that. And then there are handfuls of ones for individuals, but they tend to be, I won't call them lightweight, but they tend to be, you know, exercise, food and stuff like that. And all of those things have their values, don't get me wrong. But what we sort of thought was, there isn't one that sits in the middle. So in other words, how about a show where you get taught about cutting edge things, but all of them you can do now somewhere in the world.
Mm.
And that really was the foundation of the Profound Health Summit. And as you rightly say, the next one takes place in England, May 25, 26. That's a weekend in next year, 24. So, and one of the things we learned from all the conferences that we either that we got involved with, we always do a questionnaire, of course, tell us what you liked, what you didn't like and all that. And then we ask people every time, why did you come? You know, what was the number one reason that you came today? And you give them, you know, some boxes that they can check off. And so we sat around in the office. I remember we had this discussion. So, you know, it was like, well, most people will come because of, they wanted to listen to a particular person. So, yeah, okay, put that down, speaker. Or they wanted a topic that that was being raised. So, yeah, that would be an obvious one, put that down. And then we kind of went through the rest. I came to, you know, meet a certain exhibitor. I came to network. I came to for the locale, you know, to have a nice tax-free holiday or whatever. So we tried to come up with it or other. And so there was a bet inside the office, and the money was on speaker or topic. Mm. And when we got the results back, we were shocked. The number one reason that people come to a meeting is to network.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because it's meeting everybody. It's it gets you reinvigorated. It's, yes, it's learning, but it also gets you reinvigorated, and you make new friends, new colleagues, etc. And you get ideas or whatever. So, and that, and you can apply that either in your business or in your personal life or whatever it is. So, we realize one of the what makes the Profound Health Summit quite unique. Is how do you, there's one problem with if you say networking is your number one reason. It means you need time. You need time to, hello, say hello, how are you, may I ask you a question, etc. And how do you make time at any of these big meetings? You may never see that speaker again. You know, so we realized we have to make it quite intimate. So we don't have thousands of people. We try and limit it to 200. But everybody in that building, which is reserved for us, has breakfast together, has lunch together, has dinner together.
I love that.
So over the weekend, the chances of you meeting everyone is high.
Yeah.
And rather than saying, well, there's, and if you think about it, if you do go to a big conference like A4M, where there's 5,000 people there, you know, and nobody's having dinners, well, not necessarily having dinners together, and how many hours have you actually got free? You're going to go and listen to certain lectures, or you're going to go and eat, you're going to go and use the toilet, you're going to go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you actually work out how many hours you're left with every day to actually converse with people, it's only a few. So if it's, say, 3 hours a day that you actually get to meet and talk to people, let's say, how many people can you meet in a weekend? You've got 6 hours. How many people can you meet? Is it 100? Is it 200? Is it 300? Maybe. But it's not 2,000. It's not 5,000.
No way.
So actually, although the big meetings have their value, they also, people get attracted to them and then realize how time poor they are when they get there. I know I've always had that experience anyway.
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, I am more of an introvert than an extrovert, and very, very, that's just me. I like massive crowds, unless I'm at a concert, Phil. I mean, that's a whole other ball game, right? But I'm talking about conferences where you're learning, you're engaging, you're talking. I find personally when they're too big, it's too much. And I think a lot of people are like that too. I don't think I'm that rare. And I like the intimacy of being able to have a one-on-one conversation, really, really learning and really engaging with people as opposed to the mass. And last year, this year.
Let's be honest, when it comes to subject of health, especially at a high-end level, you know, it's not like buying a teddy bear, you know. If you walked up to a booth and you saw teddy bears, and there were big ones and small ones and white ones and green ones, you don't need to be explained anything about. They just need to know how much is that. But in our game, where we're talking about stem cells, we're talking about peptides, we talk about, you know, nutrition, we talk about even some drugs from time to time, you know, you need to know what you're doing.
Yes.
You need to know something about that substance, that protocol. And that takes time and that takes learning. So the way I look at the Profound Health Summit is it's more workshops. And in fact, I'll tell you something we don't do. Most doctors will be familiar if they go along to a show, they'll say, what are the CMEs? What are the continuing medical educational credits, right? which they do require to accumulate some every year to show that they're keeping on in the education process. We don't have them. And people are a bit shocked when I say that. And I said, well, there's a reason we don't have them. When you take them on, you're confined to talking about, generally speaking, what's approved, right? And you have to stay within certain confines. We're not about that. We're looking around the world and saying it could be approved in different countries, don't get me wrong, but we're not confining ourselves to what's approved in the United Kingdom. So we want, and we want the speakers to come along and be absolutely tell us as they say it. And we'll perhaps talk about some of the speakers and some of their subjects shortly. So, and I think that's important because
yes.
Science and medicine will not progress unless the people who are leading the field tell us exactly what they think about things and that we work from that. That's the way I see it.
I love that you said that because, as you know, you and I align very much in this. How are we ever going to learn if we are restricted to only being allowed to say things within a certain construct that is approved by, you know, individuals, which
I'm writing a piece at the moment for the magazine, Aging Matters magazine.
Yeah.
I'm entitling it, Can AI Save Us? I'm only looking from one perspective. There are a million medical publications every year. There are 50 million online. And yet, it's been estimated that only 15% of the world's information is online. And then you've got multiple languages. Can you speak Russian? Can you speak Chinese?
Yeah.
Can you speak Spanish? Whatever. Okay. No group of humans is going to keep up with what's already going on. So what we really want is a piece of software that, and of course the big challenge is how do you get that 75-85% of the world's information that's not online? That's another challenge. So, but imagine typing in, I don't know, you had an interest in prostate cancer and you wanted to, and it would go and read all the literature and, you know, 30 seconds later come back and say, I suggest you look at this, 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 and this. And it would give you a target to focus on, you know. And in the 30 years I've been doing things like that, I have several stories that I tell people, which I call the wow factors, which is in the literature, but I'm not going to pretend I even know a slither of it. But when you tell people certain stories that you've got to learn, and they go, really? And of course, the next thing is, why isn't the whole world doing that? But I've come up with a little line that I'm rather proud of to end this article, which is saying if AI could read everything for us and tell us what would be best for us, individualized, from the world's literature, we could actually learn what we've already discovered.
Mm.
And for me, that's such an important... Listen, new research is always good. Don't get me wrong. Always has to have new research. Always. But sometimes I think they're researching stuff that solutions have already been found.
Okay, all you brilliant biohackers and health conscious people out there, I'm going to talk to you about a product that you've probably heard about, but maybe don't know enough about. Colloidal Silver. And this is Colloidal Silver from Silver Biotics. While Silver Biotics has many different products made with colloidal silver, today I'm going to talk to you about their immune support. Let me tell you why Silver Biotics is different. Some companies will state that they are colloidal silver, while they are ionic solutions with small amounts of colloidal silver. Silver Biotics uses electron microscopy in the process of producing their silver to check the structure and composition of the silver. Because of this process, this actually shows that they are a true 100% colloidal silver. Silver Biotics Immune Support provides daily support for your immune system to perform optimally no matter where life takes you. It is a powerful yet gentle supplement that can be added to any diet and lifestyle plan. I personally think this is great just because I'm not a big fan of boosting the immune system. We want to support it. And this is a perfect way to do that. Now, how does Silver Biotics Immune Support do this? It works by using multiple modes of action to keep your cells healthy. It's made with tiny silver particles that have a positive ionic charge, meaning they naturally attract and attach to pathogens. Silver Biotics Miracle Particle not only promotes a strong immune system, but it also promotes a healthy gut and does not harm probiotic bacteria. I have 30% off for you to go and try this yourself right now. Go to silverbiotics.com and use my code SANDYK30 for 30% off. I agree. And this is why I utilize different search engines.
Yeah.
Like DuckDuckGo and engines where I'm going to get different information. And just like what you said, you know, sometimes the older information might be more valuable because something new or a new dogma may have just taken place of something that we already know. And, you know, that's just...
Give you one example.
Yeah.
One of the gentlemen coming, his name is Bill Chan. And believe it or not, he comes from the island of Vanuatu, which is near New Zealand, okay? And his discovery is now more than 20 years old. And his story is remarkable. In fact, we'll end up giving him an award at the Profound Health Summit because he's so standout. He's not the first time he's received awards. I'll say that. But he is the inventor or discoverer of, he's gone on to call his cream BEC5, BEC5, which is kind of named after him because his name is Bill Edward Chan. But it's a remarkable story. I don't know if we have time to go into his kind of life story. But in essence, what he discovered, he's a biochemist. But what he discovered was a substance that is within a local plant, which down there they call the devil's apple, but is an eggplant derivative, okay? And it can also be found in certain grasses as well. It's called psilocybins. And what psilocybins does, and he's got all this documented, he's had all the clinical trials, animal trials, human trials, you name it. Last time I looked this up, they had documented 80,000 patient cases.
Wow.
So this is not small. And it's been going on for decades. So what am I talking about? What does it do? Well, if you put it in a cream, and you apply it to a skin cancer, a basal cell carcinoma or a squamous cell carcinoma, it gets rid of it.
No.
It removed it in something like 6 to 12 weeks. It's just a cream. There are a couple of things, if we should get down into it, there are a couple of things, times where it won't work. But in the majority of cases, the vast majority, so if you had one here on the end of your nose, you'd be putting it on twice a day, you'd cover it with a micropore.
And with a what?
A micropore, it's a bandage with holes in.
Okay.
It's to try and keep the cream moist so it remains more active. And they know exactly how it works. They know exactly what it does. There's cancer cells produce a coating on them. It's a rhymose coating, which doesn't appear on a healthy cell. And what psilocybins does, the activity of it, is it destroys the rhymose coating. Once the rhymose coating is off, the natural immune system... Because you know what cancer is, effectively? It's our cells gone awry.
Yes.
And they don't go into what's called apoptosis. They don't die. All cells are created and
yes. Die. And then they proliferate, and that's what causes, exactly. Yeah.
And of course, the size of the tumor and where it's impacting in the body is where things go wrong. So, but skin cancers are on the surface, of course, by their very nature. So if you had healthy skin and you put this BEC5 cream on healthy skin, do absolutely nothing. Mm. Absolutely nothing. But if you had a problem, and it works also on keratosis, sunspots, you'd feel a tingling and maybe a heat sensation. That's the activity. So once these coatings have been removed, which are only present on these nefarious cells, the natural immune system takes over and gets them out. So over time, whatever the hole was that it's created will fill in. And this is all documented in the literature. There's a book out there about it that's available from Profound Health, which is his work, basically, see the before, the during, the after. And no surgery, no radiotherapy, no chemotherapy, just this cream.
Now, does it leave, you know how my dad's had basal cell a few times, and, you know, when they give you that cream.
They had what's called a Mohs, did they have it cut out?
Yeah. Or they put a cream. Sorry?
It doesn't leave a scar, no.
Because really?
Your own body, there's no need for plastic surgery, there's no need. It gets away with all that. It does look a bit scary because obviously a hole appears and it looks a bit messy, and you should put antiseptic on to make sure, of course, in the process that it doesn't become infected. There's only a couple of places it doesn't work. You can't put it near anything moist. You know, if you had one in the mouth or near the eye or near the anus or something like that, that wouldn't be a good place for it. But thankfully, those are pretty few and far between. And the other time is if the cancer is in a place where a surgeon has already been working, it might not work because, it's like an iceberg, a skin cancer. It's going to be a lot bigger under the surface than it is on the surface. And if the surgeon has disrupted the flow with his knife, because it doesn't affect healthy cells, it needs to find its way down. But thankfully, but if you used it as a first line of choice rather than a later line, that's when it works very well. And what shocks people, because normally what most people say when I talk about it is, wow, could it work on internal tumors? Well, there is only one clue. And to be honest, I don't know what's happened since then. I will certainly be asking Dr. Chan when I see him. In Denmark in 2014, they did it on horses. Now, the fact is you've got to get the cilicitines to the tumor. And as I say, on the skin, it's there. So
yes,
you can, obviously.
Yeah.
But they had these horses with various kinds of internal tumors. So they opened them up, they got to the tumor, and they injected the cilicitines. And my understanding is all the tumors went away.
Wow.
Now, you'd think, oh my God, this should be everywhere. This should be happening everywhere. But it has one problem with it. It's a natural substance that can't be patented.
Mm.
So the big pharma companies aren't interested in putting the billions into the research. So that's just one example. So we've got another gentleman coming to the Profound Health Conference. His name is Abdul Slocum from Turkey. Or Turkey, as you're now meant to say, I believe. And and the reason we've got two of the 15 speakers we have talking about cancer is the conference is entitled Maximizing Health Span. And health span is, of course, the longest period of health you can have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that we have extended longevity. But as everyone would know, there's no point in living to be 120 if you've got 30 years of really bad health.
Agree.
You need to have decent health. So it's maximizing health span. But unfortunately, whether we like it or not, the statistics show that one in two of us will have cancer in our lifetime. One in two.
Well, so, I've already had it, right? So.
Yeah. I know it's an extremely prevalent thing.
Yeah.
So we've got to get to the bottom of that, and we've got to, obviously we want to prevent it, of course, that's number one. But if we are unfortunate to get it, we need to get rid of it as effectively. Now, what Abdul Slocum, he runs a clinic in Turkey, which is called the Chemothermia Clinic, and they use a multi-pronged approach to treat people with cancer. And he's going to come along and explain it. They have to be solid tumors. Apparently, he can't do a lot for leukemia. But outside of that, and the bottom line is, they have the best success rate in Europe. So I think it's really important that people learn what they're doing there.
What kind of tumors, Phil? Like, what, you know, you're saying
all kinds. breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer, you know, all sorts. As long as they're solid tumors, not like a leukemia.
A blood, yeah.
Duration. They have very good success rates. And I think it's because they use several different... Do they use chemotherapy? Yes, they do. Mm. But they use it in a very low dose. And they only give it to the patient when the patient is in a ketogenic state. And there's reasons behind all... They use oxygen, they use high-dose vitamin C, they use vibrations, and the famous part of their treatment is the hot and cold treatment, which is uncomfortable. You know, yeah. You get blasted with very high temperatures for like half an hour, and then you're put into a cool-down room. And then but it's a shock. In fact, my understanding is it shocks the tumor. It's hot, it's cold, you know. But all these things, it takes time. You know, it's not an overnight thing. But like I say, if you've got the best records on a continent for reversing cancer, I think we should be listening very carefully to him.
I agree.
He's another one. So, but we've got a lot of other subjects, of course. I mean, perhaps your listeners would be most intrigued to know that Dr. Bill Lawrence is coming back, mm-hmm. who is using, of course, the peptide bioregulators. Now, last time, he spoke about, in his 120-plus patients, how he's extending their telomeres, improving their DNA methylation. This time, he's going to be showing us the data of organ regeneration.
Mm.
So I don't know all the details at this moment, but I'm sure Bill will give a fascinating lecture.
Yeah, I think, Phil, how long has it been since I met you? It's got to be 3 years, right? I think.
Probably, yeah.
And I've been on peptide bioregulators ever since, pretty much. And can you just explain what peptide bioregulators are for those who don't? Because they think, I will say, for people who don't understand amino acids, they think I am taking some sort of weird science that's very risky and scary. And I'm like, no, I think you got it wrong. So I would love for you to just explain what peptide bioregulators are for people.
Well, first thing I'll say, Sandy, is go back and look at our original interview where we talk only about them. Because otherwise, you know, as I say, it takes time to explain anything like this. But I'll try and do it very quickly. So peptides are made up of amino acids, but they're not amino acids. Once you've got two amino acids that are conjoined, they're known as a dipeptide. But peptide bioregulators are amino acids principally made up of 2, 3, and 4 amino acids. So they're particularly short chains. And the reason that's important is they work orally. Most of these peptides, when they get long, most, not all, they're very difficult to absorb orally, so you end up having to inject them or possibly use them intranasally or possibly use them sublingually. And, of course, once they get very long, they get different names. They can even become hormones. So, you know, you've got growth hormone, for example, which, if memory serves me right, is 191 amino acids. Impossible to swallow that. It will not survive stomach degradation. So you have to inject it. There are other approaches, and I accept that. There are growth hormone-releasing peptides. But to come back to the bioregulators, this was all Soviet research 30 and 40 years ago. And they discovered that these peptides, short-chain peptides, which they have since called bioregulators, are found in foods. And they're gene switches. So it's another, you know, we are what we eat, right? And we can look at food and we can say, what's it made of? And you can say, well, it's got vitamins, it's got minerals, it's got fats. I prefer to call them oils, just to save the confusion. Fiber, of course, etc. And these are great building blocks. But now, from this Soviet research, which has been released, it was a Soviet military secret for many years, but now it's on the open market, as it were. We can know that certain peptides in certain foods are gene switches. And they not only can activate genes, but they can silence them. So you've got situations when you know what you're doing. You say, well, I want to turn on these genes and I want to turn off those genes. Well, you can do it through the peptides. I mean, could you do it by eating lots of those food groups? I don't clinically know, but for sure it would probably be a good thing to do. But it also explains to me the plethora of different foods that we need to eat.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Our lives just eating broccoli. It wouldn't be enough. Or for that matter, the liver of an animal. You need other substances. And I think part of this reason is gene switches. And of course, what the Russians have done is they've isolated 21 of them. And they are on the Russian-speaking markets, and it's not just Russia, other countries that speak Russian, as food supplements. And they're beginning to get into the West. So, and we, you know, I would suggest if anyone wants to get the detail, to go off and watch the original thing, or come to the Profound Health Summit,
yes,
meet Dr. Lawrence, and learn what his patients are doing.
I agree. And I actually recorded with Dr. Bill Lawrence a while ago, as well as yourself, about peptide bioregulators. So it's good to know, because don't they, you know, people are like, well, I don't want it to change. Sorry?
So we didn't mention safety. But
yes.
He's the lead Russian researcher behind this, who heads up the institute in St. Petersburg that has done all this work. And some of that work, by the way, has been backed up by the American National Institute on Aging. They did some stuff as well. But he reckons that at our last meeting, the first Profound Health Summit meeting in last year, he reckons they've been dosed over 100 million times, okay, in humans. And they've never, ever seen a serious side effect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, and initially, of course, it was being used by troops, by cosmonauts, by Olympians, but now it's on the open market as well.
And people often ask me, they're like, well, why are you using it? Like, you don't have a problem with your liver. You don't have a problem with your blood vessel. And my simplest answer is, why wouldn't I tap into my biological reserve of those organs? And then you said that Dr. Bill Lawrence is going to talk about organ regeneration at the conference.
Yeah. You know, it comes back, anything in life, whatever you're going to do, it comes down to, what are you going to do? How, obviously, you would treat your weak points first.
Yeah.
So how do you know what your weak points are? Are you having medical tests to determine that? Do you just know, or is it because mum and dad?
Genetics. Genetics.
You know, so whatever you're going to do in your life, you're going to focus on an area that you perceive, oh, my dad had Alzheimer's, or my mother died of a heart attack, or whatever it is, or diabetes, or cancer, or whatever it is. That's where you should be focusing, but you have to know that. But if you do know that, then one of the weapons we have, as you will, in the armory now, very specialized, very accurate, are peptide bioregulators.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the only thing. I mean, I always say to people, you know, if let's say you have a thyroid problem, and you can certainly use the peptide bioregulator, sorry to raise this one on you, Sandy, but peptide bioregulator to help boost your thyroid. As you know, you need to have the gland,
yeah,
or the organ.
It's pointless for me, everyone. I don't have the gland.
Yeah. But you also need the raw materials, right? It's a bit like going to a building site and saying, you know, the architect's not here. Think of him as the genes, as the peptides, whatever, to give the instructions. But the bricks are here, the windows are here, the sand is here. But vice versa, if the architect turns up, and the building blocks out there, there's still not very much that can get done. So you still need to supply your body with the vitamins, with the minerals, with, you know what I mean?
Yes.
With the thyroid, with the iodine, you know, to make sure the materials are there for the peptides to give the instructions to get the job done. So it's a hand-in-glove situation. It's not one or the other.
So you're saying you have, like, it's just like people who will have, you know, poor diet, poor lifestyle, don't sleep, high stress, all of those things. And then they think peptide bioregulators are going to solve all their problems.
No, no. I've always said this. I view optimal health is like a pyramid. And as you go up the pyramid, you get more specialized, right? But the base of that pyramid is still a good lifestyle. Good, you know, if you're having McDonald's every day and 10 pints of beer at night, you know, whatever you do on top of the pyramid isn't going to have that much impact. But if you get the base right and you start adding, you know, the detox and the extra, perhaps a few extra vitamins, and then maybe some people are into hormones, they might do that, peptides, whatever. You get to the tips where you might be, you know, onto stem cells and other emerging technologies. You could have a true optimal health, mm-hmm. but it's going to take you through, you know, 9 decades of your life in good health, because that's the real goal here. You know, yeah. And so many people, they're not thinking about next week, next month, next year, but especially young people. I mean, let's be honest, when we were all young, I always say this, I think up to the age of 25, I was immortal, you know, but as you get older, that's, a, you know, just a concept. But as you get older, you realize that you're in this constant decline in so many different ways, and you don't want to go too far. You want to sort of level out and hopefully start reversing wherever. To the magic word, of course, is rejuvenation. But fundamentally, what we focus on at the ProGround Health Summit is preventative medicine. But if you get a problem, regenerative medicine.
Mm.
You know, it's getting out of that decline curve.
Well, I think that that's key, though, Phil, what you're saying, because sometimes it takes getting that problem, such as myself, to actually turn things around and say, okay, I need to learn more about how to be proactive and preventative with potential issues that may come down the road.
It's a horrible thing to say, but... Well, not horrible, perhaps, but it's an unpleasant thing to say, that as we go through life, and life is a never-ending learning curve, we have to educate ourselves about our own health. And too many people, when they hit a brick wall and they have a problem, it's straight to the local doctor, straight into the local hospital, and do whatever they say. You know, here's the high priestess wearing a white coat, and we do it. We don't act, I would suggest that we don't act like that through so many other things in our life. So, for example, let's say you want to buy a new car. I doubt if you'll walk into the first garage and say, sell me a car and take it. You'll probably do some background work. You'll find out, you'll ask other people, you'll read the magazines, whatever, and you'll get an idea of what you want before you go out. But somehow in health, people think it's all locked down. It's all, especially in Britain, where the NHS effectively provides free. Yeah, you pay 40% tax, but you get free
Canada too
healthcare, right? Yep. So you don't consider it. And of course, when you have a really serious problem, if the doc says you've got cancer, as the most obvious one, and I'm meant to be writing about a book about my wife who developed breast cancer. Because there's an awful lot of pressure. It's like, this is probably a problem that's been going on over months or even years. And suddenly, because you know, you think, well, this week, next week, when are we going to get rid of it? You know? And there's an awful lot of pressure to do something. Now, on one hand, you can say, slow down, take some time, chill, find out. Or on the other way is, if you'd already known information before, because you had educated yourself, you might give yourself a better chance of making the right decisions when that hopefully never happens. But if that problem suddenly rears its ugly head, you might go, I know what to do about that.
Yes, you made such a valuable point there, Phil. It's just like, okay, I'm going to give like the simplest example here, not cancer or anything, but let's say you have a wart, okay? Mm-hmm. As somebody who's a holistic health practitioner, I know a million different things that I can do for that wart because I've educated myself. And it can be outside of the going out to the drugstore to get the heavy duty medication to put on that wart. So what I'm saying is, I couldn't agree with you more that when you educate yourself on your own health, on your own body, because we're also not the same. We're not like something that you might find resonates may not resonate with me or my body. We're all bio-individuals, right?
We all have our own interests in life. Whatever we do in life, whatever job we have in life, we all have interests outside. From a guy's perspective, that could be planes, trains, motorcycles or boats, I don't know. You know what I mean? Or whatever interest you have, and you read about those things and you're interested in them and whatever. But I think we all could do ourselves a favor and learn something about health.
Yes.
We help ourselves, we help our loved ones. And, you know, it's a bit like taking a first aid course.
Yeah.
Whether you've done one or not, we all know it would be a really good idea to take a first aid course just in case.
Yes. And like anybody who's a parent, I don't know. I remember taking that course where I learned what to do if my baby was choking, right? It's like just having that knowledge is really, really important.
Well, you could find the time to make stuff that could be truly life-saving. But, you know, most of what we're discussing in general health, especially as aging, is a degenerative. It happens over long periods of time. So, and of course, there's still this people, oh, it's aging, so they dismiss it without realizing that there are things, if they change their lifestyle, if they change, you know, certain approaches, could actually really, you know, the one person I think sent the absolute wrong message to the women of the world is Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah.
When she discovered she had certain genes that predisposed her to breast cancers and what have you, and then had them removed. That's pretty goddamn dramatic. I don't see that myself. I can't imagine a man having been told he has genes that predispose him to testicular cancer, going out and having them removed. But there you go. As they say, you pays your money, you takes your choice. But any genealogist would tell you that you can have the wrong genes, and it's like having a gun, but the environment is the trigger.
Yeah.
So if you have the right environment, you'll never pull the trigger.
Yeah.
If you have the wrong environment, then yes, you could pull the trigger. You see what I'm saying?
Totally. But
all Angelina Jolie really needed to do was to avoid the things, the foods, the lifestyle, maybe even certain drugs or whatever, that she could continue to have those genes. Well, of course, I'm sure she knew nothing about peptide bioregulators either.
No, then you listen to some of these experts. Like, I don't know if you know who Gary Brecka is. Do you know who he is? He's a human biologist. And, you know, he talks a lot about that kind of stuff. And he's like, if we could just kind of figure out our methylation patterns, then we can actually, like, whatever. So you might have that gene, but you can go down here to prevent that from ever expressing.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. I think he's right. I mean, there's a guy called Thomas Seyfeld, and he wrote a book some years ago, Cancer is a Metabolic Disease.
Mm.
And I think that's a real eye-opener. I think the majority of cancers, not all, but the majority of cancers are caused by a problem in one's methylation. That could be toxins that are causing that problem, or it could just be, you know, the wrong lifestyle. So absolutely, I think this is of course, today we have the very modern expression of biohacking.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is essentially, you know, the names have changed over the years. I mean, going back to Linus Pauling, he used to call it orthomolecular.
Oh, and yeah, course, yeah.
More recently, we had bioidentical, you know, everyone talked about bioidentical hormones for a long time, with natural to and in the body. And biohacking is a new word, but it's all in the same vein.
Yes. Now let's switch gears a little bit, because I want to hear or give everyone a little taste of other things they can expect at the Profound Health Summit.
Okay. Well, we've got people from all over the world, which I think is important because different parts of the world have different protocols, ideas, whatever. So just to run down, of course, we've got some British people too. So Rob Verkerk, these are all doctors. Rob Verkerk, he heads up the Alliance of Natural Health, which is a very important organisation that is fighting for us to keep access to, you know, these kind of products. But he's going to talk about the importance of micronutrients, which are really overlooked. And his colleague, Melanie Aldridge, also from the Alliance of Natural Health, she's going to talk about brain inflammation and the damage it can do and how to reverse it.
Oh, can I go back on that whole micronutrients thing?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fascinating conversation in and of itself, because I think just like what you're saying about your pyramid, that is often dismissed. Like, people don't realize that even if your minerals are not, if you don't have a solid foundation of balanced minerals, you can't even absorb the vitamins that you're taking.
Now, Rob is a great speaker as well, because, you know, some of the challenges when I'm organizing a conference and you're sitting there and you're thinking, what are the subjects we want and who are we going to invite?
Yeah.
Because I wish to point out, we invite the speakers. We're not a conference that says, we've got these slots and would you like to pay to be on stage?
Yes.
That happened.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not doing that. We're looking out and we're saying, who's doing interesting work? And bring these topics together. So, as I said, and you have to have some kind of common denominator. So we titled the summit Maximizing Health Span, and the subtitle is Using Stem Cells, Peptides, Nutrition and Lifestyle, and Hormones. They're great. And we have a lady coming from the Bahamas. Her name is Desiree Cox. Now, some exciting she's going to talk about stem cells. There's some exciting things happening on the Bahamas. They're in the process of changing all their laws to do some really cutting-edge things. So, and that, because that's the other trip up, right? You say, well, that's brilliant. Why isn't my country doing it? And then you say, well, it's your regulations. You've got, how do you get it past your regulatory authorities and what does that take? You know, one of the problems in America, of course, with the average cost of drug approval being over $1 billion, how are you going to raise the money?
Exactly.
Who's got that kind of money to throw in, you know? So Desiree's coming from the Bahamas to tell us about stem cells. We have the very well-known Liz Parrish.
Okay, yeah.
Liz is coming from the States, of course, and she's going to, of course, talk on gene therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, she's become very famous because she was the first person in the world to have a complete gene therapy.
Yes.
So, and it also helps that she looks good and performs well. So she's coming along. We've got another gentleman from the States called Brian Delaney, and Brian's going to talk about APO2 gene. It's quite specific, this one, but also its role in dementias, and pointing out that even if you have this particular gene, what to do to change the balance in the right direction. We have Marius Kriazis from Cyprus. I've worked with Marius for many years, and he's actually the founder of the British Longevity Society, because for many years he lived in England. And he's going to talk about what is a very hot topic in the, how should we put it, serious life extension circles, which is rapamycin. And rapamycin is known as the mTOR inhibitor. A very good book out, by the way, written by Dr. Ross Pelton, a former pharmacist, which is rapamycin. Anyone can find that on Amazon if they want to go and look into that.
Yeah, and Phil, before we continue, you know, I'm going to just say, because a lot of people don't understand mTOR, and I actually recorded a podcast about this, and would you mind explaining mTOR? Because, you know, people say, well, we can't eat meat anymore because it shortens lifespan, right?
Well, I'm unsure about that. I think we've got a couple of hurdles to overcome with any food group. Problems with, is how contaminated is the food group?
Yeah.
And when it comes to meat, the animals are eating perhaps food that's being treated with pesticides. They are perhaps being given hormone therapies in order to produce more meat, more milk, or whatever the situation is. And so are we really truly eating a natural food?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you're eating, let's say, beef from cows that are having a grass diet.
Yes.
And they're out in the fields and, you know, enjoying their lives. And, you know, not inside and all the rest of it, you reduce a lot of these problems. There is another thing about red meat that's slightly problematic if you eat it to excess, and that is that it has a slightly acidic profile. So the body is constantly modulating itself between acidity and alkalinity.
Yeah.
It's not a big movement. I'm not talking about a massive movement that you could measure with a pH stick. It could only be maybe 1 point. But when it comes to cancer, it's generally well known three things about cancer. Cancer will struggle to survive in a situation of high oxygen, low sugar, and alkalinity.
Yeah.
If you reverse those roles, i.e. high sugar, low oxygen, acidity, you have an environment where cancer could proliferate. I think red meat goes some way to making the body more acidic. So therefore, don't overdo it. Green leafy vegetables do two things in the main. I'm of course, you know, generalizing here. Green leafy vegetables have two good things in their favor. Generally, they're alkalizing. Also, because of the chlorophyll, they provide a lot of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, if they're complex carbohydrates, they're also low sugar. So they're kind of a magic thing. But mTOR is a process that's involved, a very complicated diagram. But the general theory is you have to dampen it down. You don't want it to be too elevated. Some people are scared of rapamycin because its official use is as an immune suppressant for people who are taking serious cancer drugs. And of course, that's a scary thing to say. But the devil is always in the detail. The kind of dosages that cancer patients are taking are probably, I guess, around 20 milligrams a day, right? The people who are into this serious life extension are probably using 5 milligrams every week. It's a bit, some people say 5, some people say 6, but it's generally that once a week,
yeah.
Not every day. So instead of doing a complete immune suppression, it's just dampening down. My personal opinion is that if you are an elderly person, I would consider it with your doctor's help, of course. I think it could be considered. If you're somebody who's a lot younger, or in very good health, I'm a bit 50-50 on it. It's, you know, it's like a ladder, isn't it? You know, at the bottom there's vitamin C, which everyone can use and really, apart from getting diarrhea, really have nothing to worry about.
Right.
In very high doses. And as you go up the ladder, you start playing with hormones or you start, you know, it gets, how shall we say, more serious. And of course, the further you go up the ladder, the more you should have a health professional working with you.
Yeah.
We can take vitamin C with impunity, but you know what I mean? It's
totally. And I also think, you know, with all these things, like somebody like myself, you know, I do eat beef, but everything I do is within balance. Mm. And I might not do any major fasting where that would actually really, really help. I still fast 12 hours for sure. I don't eat late at night. So there's a lot of diet, lifestyle things.
Fasting is another. Yeah, that can do a lot of good things, of course, absolutely.
Yeah, but anyway, I just wanted to stop on that because it's always a question.
Another hot topic. We've also got a nice lady coming from Dubai. Her name is Elena Serenova, and she's going to talk about NAD and the best ways to improve your NAD.
Very cool.
She's a very knowledgeable lady on that subject. We also have another American lady called Hannah Wendt, and she's going to come and tell us about testing for epigenetics and how, what's the right way to do it, what to look for, and that. So it's a testing side of the equation. We have a very famous gentleman in gerontological circles, and his name is Professor Suresh Ratan from Denmark, and he's going to come over and talk about hormesis, which is kind of his thing. And hormesis is mild stress. And the actual idea is that mild stress is beneficial. And the most obvious example of that is exercise.
Ah, yeah.
The mild stress, but yet we'd all agree that exercise makes us look and feel better.
Yep.
So that's an interesting one. And then we got quite a few ladies this time because of, last time we were told there was too much testosterone on the stage.
I like that. You know what I call it? I call it the maniverse. Seriously, right. Phil, listen, obviously you're a male. And I'm not saying this to offend you, but a lot of times, you know, we hear in the wellness space, and I'm kind of trying to like say, I'm not saying anything against all these big, big names, but a lot of their perspectives are very applicable to men.
And also,
you know,
we automatically flip to the word he.
Yeah.
If I was to mention the word God, and then the next sentence would be he.
Yes.
Meaning God. Very unlikely I would say she, even though he might not be a he or a she. Who knows? But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So I draw the line at changing words like fisherman to fisherperson. I think you're getting a bit too
Listen, I am very much, for me, it's just, I only care specifically about the wellness aspect.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. And that, you know, the science may not apply to women, especially women around perimenopause or menopause, because we're a whole different animal.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got to mention another lady who's coming from South Africa is Dr. Sly Nedick, and she's a lovely lady, and really, and we wanted to bring in a kind of aesthetic, because, you know, looking good is part of the equation.
Yeah.
Functioning well, obviously, but looking good. But she's really bringing something very fundamental to the conference, and she runs a very successful practice in South Africa. And basically, she and I think she's from your neck of the woods, by the way. I think she may have been Croatian.
Really?
Or something like that.
Yeah?
Originally. Yeah. And so certainly Magdalena knows her anyway.
Yeah, of course.
I saw them talking in their own language last time. But what she's going to talk about is how to use hormones to reduce belly fat.
Ooh.
And also, yeah, and also reduce wrinkles.
Oh, so, very cool.
Interesting, wouldn't it? I mean, Thierry Hertog does a few things on that. I know, for example, Thierry, I don't know whether Sly will talk about this or not, but I've heard Thierry talk about the hormone vasopressin. And vasopressin is, one of the things it does is it retains water. So if you've got laughter lines or crow's feet, if you use vasopressin, because you're retaining more water, they're going to go away. But it's not Botox. It's completely, it's from the inside out, not from the outside in, if you know what I mean.
Well, Phil, I have to stop you. You know that I had a post go massively viral on TikTok. Like, we're talking 500,000 views because I started using straight up estriol on my face.
Oh, yeah.
Just on, and not estradiol, because I did so much research on this, because I'm like, okay, estradiol could potentially cause melasma. I'm like, no. And you would know this because you're a pharmacist. But I started using estriol, and I'm going to say it's like, it was a year in September. Nothing I have used topically has been as beneficial.
Jonathan Wright loves that. Jonathan V. Wright.
Oh, he's awesome.
We respect. He wrote a book quite a few years ago now, which was originally entitled Don't Let Your Doctor Give You Horse Urine, but which was all about the estrogens. Right?
Yeah.
And he likes to use what has now become known as NHRT, which is natural hormone replacement therapy.
Okay.
Because because the standard hormone replacement therapies are synthetic or extracted from horse urine, believe it or not.
And yeah.
There's a whole story there. But what I found fascinating from his work and from his studies of the patients he was seeing is the average woman, right, when premenopause, of course, is producing the three principal estrogens, 90%, 90, of estriol, 7% estradiol, and 3% estrone. So the vast majority of estrogen circulating in a lady's body is estriol.
But
and some people say
that's it's premenopause, though.
Yes, premenopause.
That's yeah.
Premenopause. But, the idea being that, and his approach is to give them, the people who want the HRT, and he gives them natural HRT, he gives them in those ratios.
But I've
certainly heard of the ladies putting estriol on and having very good skin benefits. But the point is this, it's the anti-carcinogenic estrogen.
Yes.
As you say, you're not going to put estradiol on your face.
Right. Right. And the research that I've seen is that if you put estriol, and of course, I'm going to just put a little caveat here. People, we're not giving medical advice. See your own practitioner. We're just having a discussion here. I better say that here because it might not be for everyone. But even still, the research that I've done says that.
My good friend Clive DeCarl, who's a big podcaster in the UK.
Yeah.
He's tripped up a few times. So what he says, if I mention the word cure, I want to point out I spell it with a K.
There you go. And I'm not saying this is curing anything, but the research that I did do on estriol specifically is that it doesn't raise blood serum estrogens. If you right. use it topically, like around your eyes, on your neck, yeah. and it's specifically great for that crepey skin, which often happens in menopausal women. And if you think about it, Phil, like when women are pregnant, if a woman gets pregnant, estriol is one of the highest estrogens. Mm. And you know how they talk about that pregnancy glow? It makes logical sense, right?
I don't know about progesterone because I'm sure you're well aware of this. When a lady hits the menopause, there can be up to 60 or 80% declines in production of estrogens, but they never go to zero. But progesterone can.
Yeah.
Progesterone can go down to zero. The late, great John Lee, who wrote a number of books on this, I think one was called What Your Doctor Doesn't Tell You About Menopause, was one of his big sellers. He was all about progesterone. He was always saying the counterbalance is progesterone. And again, today, of course, there are natural progesterone creams as well.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Bioidentical, to use the correct word.
So, yep. And I have to say I started the progesterone way before the estrogen because that started to go downhill way earlier.
We have another doctor coming from Australia. His name is Michael Zachariah. Now, he's also going to talk about bioidentical hormones, although he hasn't actually given me his precise topic yet, so I can't comment on that.
Okay.
But another interesting gentleman coming is Dr. Rich Lipman, who's coming from Hawaii. And Rich is a free radical expert.
Oh.
And he created a bunch of free radicals, which has been called ACF228, which stands for antioxidant complete formula. And 228 because it was his 228th experiment. But the interesting thing, he's going to include that as a methodology to reverse gray hair. So,
ooh.
So we've got, I think we've got some hot topics amongst them.
That's amazing. You know, I've heard so many different things and about gray hair specifically, and that some people find that spermidine could help reverse gray hair. It didn't for me. Maybe it halted it though.
Have you got a product? God, I've gone all this time and not told a joke. So here we go. I don't know if this product, over in England, we have a product called Grecian 2000. It's been around forever, and the men use it a lot. And it's like a liquid, and you slap it on, and over time, it dyes your hair, basically. But it's not a pure dye. It's actually something that acts a little bit. Grecian 2000, it's called. And I don't know whether you've got it over.
I've heard of it. Yep.
Yeah. So the old joke is, he said, have you been using that Grecian 2000? I said, yeah. He said, what's it done for you? He said, it's made me look like a 2,000-year-old Greek. So
that's it. I was wondering when you were going to start with the jokes.
Gotta have a laugh. Another lady who's coming is a professor. Her name is Debbie Vinsky. And Debbie is very big in the Far East. She comes from Indonesia. So she's going to come over and tell us, and she owns probably the biggest clinic in Jakarta, I would say. And she's very well connected over in that part of the world. And I think she's still the president of WOSAM, which is the World Society of Anti-Aging Medicine. And she's going to come over and tell us about what they're doing over there. So I haven't got the details at the moment, but that's the whole point. We bring people in, apart from Antarctica, where I think we're bringing people from just about every continent to come and tell us about what they're up to.
I think that that's important because everybody's doing different things, and that's how we learn. I mean, there's so many ways that I've learned and things that I've learned just from connections, like connections with yourself, even though I'm Canadian, and I love that, and reading your magazine. So let us know how people can find out more, because you have a website. Can you please let us know? Yeah.
My pleasure. So basically, profound-health-summit.com, and you'll see all the details there. And of course, you can click and buy your tickets and take credit cards and all that. And I know you're going to put a link down below, Sandy, to mm-hmm. give your viewers some money off that ticket.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, what I should have mentioned as well is where it's being held. Now, everyone assumes it's in London. No, it's not in London. The hotel is called the Luton Who, which is an unusual name. I accept that. H-double-O. If anyone's watched various films, if you've watched James Bond, Never Say Never Again, or if you've watched Three Weddings and a Funeral.
Yes.
You've seen Luton Who, because a lot of it was filmed in and around Luton Who. So it's a stately home. It's about 40 minutes north of London, very easy to reach by train. There's also a local airport called Luton Airport, and it's very close to all that. And it sits in its own stately home that sits in 1,000 acres of woodland and lakes and things like that, and a golf course. So there's loads of things. So bring the spouse along as well, and they'll be happy because they can go to the spa, to the gym, cycling, swimming, play golf, whatever they want to do. And go to the meeting, and so it's a very luxurious place. And yes, we've also got money off for attendees to take the rooms there, but we're in our own building. And as I say, that so when you get up in the morning, whoever you meet, if they're not a member of the hotel staff, they're there for the conference. So you'll sit down to breakfast with people, attendees and speakers, and lunch and dinner. And because it would be wrong, wouldn't it, if we're doing all this at a good level, that we gave you KFC chicken and a Coca-Cola so I can assure you that because Luton Who is a 5-star resort, the food and drink is very good quality. So it's about, yes, it's a little bit of a luxurious weekend, but it's also about having fun, learning and networking.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to put all the links in my show notes. Be sure to check it out. I will have a discount code. And I'm going to also put links where you can follow on Instagram, because you guys are on Instagram now, and all, because I was stalking last year because I couldn't go. So I was following along the entire time. So I will have all of that.
I should also mention, sorry to interrupt you, Sandy, that too many events now, you go along and what you end up, you're sitting there in the audience and you watch somebody on the screen giving, either talking from another part of the world or giving a video. Ours is a live event. Everybody's there.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to look them in the eye and shake their hands. You know, it's not somebody, you know, on a video screen. That's not what we're about.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Phil. I really appreciate your time. I'm so happy to reconnect with you again.
Great. Well, I enjoyed it, Sandy.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to share it with someone you know might benefit. And always remember, when you rate, review, subscribe, you help to support my content and help me to keep going and bringing these conversations to you each and every week. Join me next week for a new topic, new guest, new exciting conversations to help you live your best life.